Today I'm talking to Farid Ahmed. You are National Secretary of External Affairs for the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community. This is ahead of a National Peace Conference on the 9th of March at the Bat al-Futu Mosque in Morden, which I understand is the largest mosque in Western Europe, funded by the Ahmadiyya itself. How is the Ahmadiyya community funded?
Hello, and thank you for inviting me for the programme. The Ahmadiyya Muslim community is unique in many ways, and one of the ways is the way it's funded. We are entirely self-funded, so the funds come from donations from our members. We receive no money from countries or governments, and each member donates. So that gives a real sense of community amongst our membership, and it builds a sense of connection and identity to the community and engages them more in the work that we do for ourselves and for others. And that's not just for the functioning of our community, the administrative work and the mosques that we build, but also for all the charity work that we do, in different countries, including the UK and other countries as well, to help those in need, all self-funded from members.
Oh, that's wonderful. I understand your keynote speaker is His Holiness Hazrat Mirza Masroor Ahmad, who's head of the worldwide Ahmadiyya community. Can you give me an idea of the message he's going to be bringing to the conference?
Sure. His Holiness Hazrat Mirza Masroor Ahmad is the worldwide head of our community. We refer to him as the Khalifa, which means spiritual leader. And we're really fortunate that he is based in the UK. And really, one word sums up what he will speak on in the conference is peace. He has always spoken on the need for justice in society, a deep concern for the suffering of mankind, and really focusing on doing good to others and treating others equally, thinking about the greater good, upholding laws. And it's a message really for people across the world, you know, whether they are in the East or the West. And his focus has been to build bridges. You know, we live in a really difficult and challenging time, and we want to move to a situation where people come together, improve their understanding, and actually commit to work together as well. And he conveys that, you know, as a religious leader, our belief is and his belief is that this stems from a belief in God. God is the source of peace, and we need to work towards peace if we are true believers in a peaceful God.
And who will be attending the conference? It's huge, isn't it? It's a big, big, big mosque. So lots of people that you're expecting, I assume.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, it's the largest mosque in Western Europe. A beautiful building. If people have had the chance to visit or see, if they haven't, they must do. It's based in Morden. We're expecting around 1,000 people, and that'll be a range of people from parliamentarians, faith leaders, civic leaders, NGOs. And also there'll be representation there from over 20 countries. So a mixture of parliamentarians and faith and other leaders from other countries as well. So a real unique event, bringing together people from all walks of life, and, you know, committing to come and attend and learn from each other to improve peace in our society.
And can we talk a little bit about the philosophy of your community? I understand that you follow the same holy scriptures as other Muslims, but you want to rejuvenate true Islam, which is very peaceful in itself, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think the simplest way to describe it is the fundamental difference between the Ahmadiyya Muslim community and all of the Muslim communities relates to the prophecy within Islam, and in fact, a prophecy within other faiths of a reformer in the latter days, a Messiah. So we believe the founder of our community, Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, was that promised Messiah. And other Muslims are still awaiting for someone to appear. Very similar to the difference between, you know, Christians and Jews at the time of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. And the founder, you're absolutely right, he did not bring any new teachings or new scriptures. So our faith is Islam. Our holy book is the Holy Quran. We worship, you know, God. We pray five times a day. But the difference is in removing those misconceptions that have crept in over time and to rejuvenate that focus on peace, which was Islam's original message and remains its message to this day. Things like, you know, the idea of jihad not being a violent struggle, but more a struggle within yourself to be a better person, to have separation of church and state, to have freedom of religion, justice for all, a sense of loyalty to one's country. And the other difference is that after the founder passed away in 1908, he had instituted a system of leadership. So although we are now established in 200 plus countries around the world, we are structured and organized and have a single global leader. As I mentioned, we refer to him as a caliph, which is a spiritual role, not a political role. And the purpose is to unite people for the cause of peace and bring them together to work for that cause.
I understand Ahmadi Muslim women also have participated in charity work, community service and humanitarian efforts. So they play quite a big role in the community. What other roles do you think women could progress to?
They play an absolutely amazing role. As you mentioned, they have done excellent and carry on doing excellent work in all fields, in the charity work that we do, in the disaster relief and the development projects that we have, in helping the environment. They're active, you know, planting trees. They're active in medical professions, in media, in research. In the same way, you know, the opportunities that exist to men exist to women. And, you know, we're proud that our ladies are excelling in those fields and serving actively in all the fields as well. So the opportunity to serve and to work together for the good of mankind is equal, and therefore men and women together.
That's good. Why do other Muslims not recognise your community?
I think it goes back to, as I mentioned earlier, the claim of the founder, the difference being that we accept the founder to be the promised Messiah prophesied in Islam, and others are still awaiting. So it's you know, other than that, you could say 99% of our beliefs are the same. We have the same scriptures. But, you know, these theological differences are not unique to us. They are different denominations within Islam, and there are differences within those and similarly with other faiths. And, you know, you pass, as religious history teaches us, you know, religions pass through different phases. Within Christianity, we had the Middle Ages where there were violent differences, but, you know, we've moved to a different stage. Within Islam, there are differences, and our hope and ambition is that, you know, we will get past that. As a community, we have grown. So although we were founded in 1889, we're now established in 200 countries. In the UK, your listeners may be interested to know that we established the first mosque in London in 1926, and we're one of the oldest Muslim communities in this country. And thousands are joining each year. So there may be differences, but it's not stopping other faiths, Muslims and non-Muslims, from joining our community.
Let's move on from the peace conference. Is it especially important at the moment with all the troubles going in Gaza? What can the peace conference give to people coming along?
The situation in Gaza is heartbreaking. I think nobody who watches their TV or listens to the news and sees the scenes of destruction and, you know, that's happening there is not moved by that. So, you know, the need for peace and the timing of the conference is critical. The message of the conference is fundamental because it's aimed at bringing peace and ending suffering. It is also aimed at working for the sake of justice. So, you know, whether it's in the Middle East, where we want peace in the Middle East, peace for the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, we want an end to the suffering. You know, we do want an immediate ceasefire to stop the killing. And the release of hostages and the upholding of international laws. So the timing of the event is critical, but it's not limited to the Middle East. You know, we've seen there are conflicts in Ukraine and other parts of the world. Probably a worryingly a growing trend at the moment. And we want to see how we can work together to reverse that trend. You know, this idea of increasing moves towards nationalism, isolation, we want to see that. The worry is that if it doesn't, and His Holiness has repeatedly spoken on this and warned that if these conflicts do not stop, then there's a risk that they grow and we move towards potentially a third world war. So we want to take hold of the situation and work together. Build a sense of justice, you know, not revenge, not exploitation, and uphold the rights and take action to save lives rather than to take lives.
thank you. And one last question. Given the difference in some of the fundamental beliefs between Muslim faiths, do you ever see a time that these differences can be overcome and that there will be a universal Muslim faith that encompasses all the different factions?
It's a fascinating question, because the prophecy I mentioned earlier on in Islam about a promised Messiah was that he would unite mankind. In fact, not just Muslims. So, you know, different prophecies of different reformers, the founder claimed that they referred to a single person. So you won't have a number of people claiming to be the reformers for their faith, but one person to bring people together. So, you know, we think it may not be 100%. You know, you will never have 100% of the people following a particular faith, but a substantial number. But the key thing is that it will reflect Islam's true message, which is a message of peace. And our history has shown the community grow from that single claimant in 1889 to tens of millions now. We will remain steadfast in how we, you know, work towards that cause of peace. And our mission is really to bring peace, to unite people, and equally to help people, regardless of their faith, to help mankind, and through that, bring greater peace in the world in a belief through a belief in God.
Well, thank you, Farid. Let's hope peace does unite everybody, and good luck with the peace conference. And thank you for coming on to Radio Jackie to talk to me about it and to explain your community, your mosque, and the conference on the 9th of March. Thank you very much indeed.